You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Covered a lot of ground, talked about what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's a person, not a force, not a power, but a person. And how He's the Comforter. He's the one that comes alongside to help us. He came to stand in Jesus' place here. Jesus is at the right hand of God, but the Holy Spirit's down here. There's always been one of the Trinity down here. Old Testament would be, you know, the Father, and then New Testament was Jesus, and now it's the New Covenant was the Holy Spirit. And so He's with us. What? Know you not? Your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and you know, not your own, but bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. We belong to God. We give ourselves over to Him, and the Holy Spirit resides in us. That's why we had to be saved and washed in the blood, so the Holy Spirit could reside in us. And you're saved first, the Holy Spirit comes second. But the Holy Spirit really is how Jesus is with us. When He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, alone with you to the ends of the earth, Jesus bodily is not here. Jesus bodily is in heaven. Amen. How is He with us? He's with us through the Holy Spirit. That's how He's here. And so He lives with us, moves in us, walks in us. He's a helper. He helps us do what God will ask us to do. So we never do anything God asks us to do by ourselves. We're never on our own when it comes to serving God. Never. The Holy Spirit's there to help us do whatever God is asking us to do. We do it. We're the doers of the Word. The Holy Spirit is not the doer of the Word. You are the doer of the Word. Be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. But you're not doing the Word without help. Make sense? Okay. So the idea that God left you alone, no, He didn't leave you alone. He gave you a helper. To help you do what He asks you to do. So you're never without strength. You never go under for a lack of power. You never go under for a lack of help. You never go under for a lack of promises. The only reason we would ever go under is because of a lack of knowledge, really, of God's Word. Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Jesus said, you know the truth, and truth will make you free. Pretty simple. If you don't know God heals, you won't get healed. If you don't know God will give you joy and depression, then you won't get joy and depression. If I'm not saying you don't fight battles, of course you do, and I'm sympathized with Dick. I mean, I've been there myself. He's in the middle of it. That's why we pray, and we're joining our faith. Dick, you're not alone. You're not fighting that battle on your own. You can rest, because we're praying for you. Our faith is lifting you up.
Amen.
See, that's a comfort, really, when you think about it. When you say, man, I just don't think I can. Well, you're not alone. We're all praying. Take a break. Take a rest. We'll take over. We'll join our faith with you. Amen? That's why we pray for one another. Help lift one another. Because sometimes you're down and sometimes I'm up. And it's the other way around. And we need each other. That's why we turn these prayer requests in. Because we need that. Amen? But we're not fighting this thing by ourselves. We got strength. We got hope. The Holy Spirit is our comfort. He's our teacher. He's our guide. He reveals the truth to us. He leads us. Last week we talked about how He leads us into, you know, from one situation to another situation, and speaks to us, and wow, gives us impressions. We feel peace about things, and we feel unrest about other things. Many times that's the Spirit of God leading you, stopping you, checking you, and then pushing you in another direction. But it's your choice to obey. Amen? And then ultimately, of course, you think about the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you know, without getting into the gifts of the Spirit are listed in 1 Corinthians 12, 8, 9, and 10. It lists 9 gifts that it mentions there. And I believe in those fully. We operate in those in our church. We believe those are real. Are you with me? They're gifts of the Spirit. They're not gifts. They're not our gifts. They're His gifts. They come not as we will, but as He wills. We don't turn them on or off. He turns them on. Amen? We obey and share them, you know, but they're gifts of the Spirit. But then there's just this overall thing called the anointing. Everybody say the anointing. Which I love teaching on, love talking about, and I lean heavily on the anointing. I'm not here to razzle and dazzle you with my brilliance. That wouldn't last very long anyway. I'm not here to sway you over, you know, with my eloquence, my elocution. Are you with me? My slick way of speaking. I'm not here to just put sugar on everything I say. We're going to put some sugar on this today. Oh, yeah, out there, somebody say amen, hallelujah. You know, I understand the sing-song thing going. Now, sometimes you get into it and a preacher hits you. But really, without the anointing, then we just got performance. You know, we got intellect and performance. And now, hey, the anointing comes on you. Sometimes it looks like a performance, but it's different. you know it's different because there's a spirit on it. There's something on it tugging at you, pulling at you, grabbing your heart. Hallelujah. It's not just saying it right. It's not just saying saying the right thing in the right way. It's the anointing. Old Pentecostals used to have this saying, ooh, I stepped into something there. You know, they get to preaching, they got into something. Whoa, that was the anointing's what it was. And I've learned when I step into something like that, I stay there. I stay there until it moves, and then I move over and just keep preaching till I step into something else. You know, a lot of times you tread water trying to find that anointing. Done that many a times, and then God will just jump on something, and I'll run with it and go that direction. Well, that's following the leading of the Holy Spirit, and that's just recognizing the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know, thank God for education. I've mentioned this many times. And thank God for college and seminary and all those things. And thank God for reading. I'm a voracious reader myself. But you can't read enough and you can't go to enough colleges to be called. That's a call. Calling is something God does. And just because God calls someone doesn't mean they're any better or more special than anyone else. God just picked them. God just called me to teach. And he called me to pastor. Wasn't because I was better than anybody else. Wasn't because I was more qualified than anybody else. I was not qualified. I was unqualified. He qualified me when he called me. Are you with me? And he qualifies you when he calls you. And whenever he leads you to do anything, he's already got the ability. He's just looking for availability. So don't ever tell God you can't do what God says you can do. If God says you can do it, you can do it. Jeremiah tried that. You know, Jeremiah, the first chapter, when God called Jeremiah. It's a great pro-life scripture, incidentally, because it talks about how in your mother's womb I knew you. Before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. He was a person in that womb. Are you with me? And I'm definitely pro-life. An abortion is just killing a baby. And if you've had an abortion, God loves you. He doesn't hate you. We don't hate you. We love you. That baby is alive in that womb. Are you with me? And God even told Jeremiah that. And he said, while you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were in your mother's womb, I ordained you a prophet. And then Jeremiah says this. He says, oh, Lord, I can't speak. I'm just a child. You know, there's that natural mind kicking in when God asks us to do something. We automatically think, you got to be kidding me. Who you think? No, you must have made a mistake. That's that. You know, there's a lot of Michael Williams. Maybe you just got the wrong one, God. I mean, there must be another one somewhere down the road. Jeremiah said, I can't speak, I'm a child. And you know what God says? Don't you say that. I am a child. For you will go to whoever I send you to, and you will speak whatever I tell you to speak. And they will know there has been a prophet among them. See, don't ever say you can't do what God says you can do. I remember there's 10 spies that tried that. Remember that? 13th chapter's number, Kadesh Barnea, the 12 spies went in. 2 came back with a good, 10 came back with a bad. 12 spies went out there, and those 10 spies says, well, I know what God says, but those giants, they're big, and those walls are huge. The opposition is going to be tough. They said they couldn't do what God said they could do. We're grasshoppers in our own sight. We're grasshoppers in their sight, and we're grasshoppers in our own sight. Well, they had the wrong picture of themselves, didn't they? They didn't see themselves the way God saw them. They didn't believe they could do what God said they could do. But two of them did, Joshua and Caleb. They stood up and they stilled the people. I always love those words, they stilled the people. How do you think they did that? I'm sure they got up and just hollered, chill out. Hold on. We are well able to overcome them. Let us go up at once and possess this land. See, they saw what God saw. They said what God said. They didn't say they couldn't do what God said they could do. They said they could do what God said they could do. They said, the Lord is with us. There it is. That was their strength. It says, their defense has departed from them. They're bread for us. In other words, you know, we eat people like that for breakfast and spit them out. Hello. The Lord's with us. Got to get a hold of that. Praise God. I mean, thank God for God. Thank God for the anointing. Thank God for callings and gifts and so on and so forth. And the Spirit is on us. He anoints us. He empowers us. You know, when you're anointed, you're set apart for that thing. You're called to that thing. Well, you know, every one of us are anointed by the Holy Spirit. Not every one of us are anointed to preach or to teach or, are you with me, or to pastor or, you know, the list, apostle or evangelist or a prophet. But we're all anointed. Every one of us are anointed. Amen. The Spirit of God's on us for a work, and it's to help others. It's to reach out to others. You say, well, I can't make a difference. Yes, you can. You can help suffering, sighing, dying humanity. You can make a difference in somebody's life. You can. I don't care what people have said about you. It doesn't matter what everybody has said about you. What matters is what God says about you. What matters is what God has told us in His Word. Let God be true and every man a liar. And be it far from me to question God. God said, I can, then I can. Amen? God says it can happen, it'll happen. All things are possible to God, and all things are possible to him that believeth. So you can believe God. Amen? I can't tell you how many times I've been down. How many times I've been under it. How many times I couldn't see the top. And God said, you're going to be fine. You're going to make it. It's going to work out. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And you know what? He did everything he said. He has always come through in every case. Here I am. I'm still alive. Here you are. Amen? You're still alive. Your future's bright. So bright you got to wear shades. You just got to trust God. Amen? Put your faith in God. Luke 4:18. Let's just turn there. That's the instance where Jesus had been tempted in the wilderness. He's led of the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. After 40 days of hungering, the devil came, and Jesus overcame the devil with the word. And then in the 14th verse of that Luke, the 4th chapter, it says, he returned in the power of the Spirit. Oh, I like that. That's good. The power. Wouldn't you like to have the power Jesus had? Amen. You do.
That's right.
You're not Jesus, but you have the same power he had. Because he did what he did in the power of the Spirit, you have the Spirit too. Wow. Now, if you don't believe that, go read the Bible again. You need to read it over, because that's exactly what it says. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, you have the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, says he'll quicken and make alive your mortal body. You know, there's not two Holy Spirits. There's only one. And you have the same Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Now, I don't know how big your problem is, but if he raised Christ from the dead, that's a pretty big problem. I think he can handle your problem. And he is our helper. That's what Jesus said. He helps us. He helps us get through things. Helps us help people. Because that's really when the anointing comes on us. And even the gifts of the Spirit. We talk about the 9 gifts of the Spirit, you know, gifts of word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and gifts of discerning of spirits, gifts of faith, working of miracles, gifts of healings, gifts of tongue, interpretation, and the last gift, whatever that was. But you talk about those 9 gifts. Those gifts really are on you for others. They're on you to help others. I mean, the gifts of healings on you for people to be healed. Think about it. Gift of prophecy or gift of word of wisdom. If prophecy was the last one. Gift of the word of wisdom is on you for others. Gift of the word of knowledge is on you for others. The gift of prophecy is on you for others. The gift of tongue, interpretation of tongues is for others. And the gift of faith is for others. We all have faith, but the gift of faith is when you do something supernaturally. I mean, just something you just never even dreamed you could do for somebody. And miracles begin to happen. Gift of working of miracles, gifts of healings. All that's for others. And that's what Jesus is saying here. And that's what we really want to get down to. We want the Holy Spirit. We need his teaching. We need the revelation of the Holy Spirit. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. But all that is in the power, the strength of the Holy Spirit, that anointing, all that is so that we can help people. Because really, it's if you want to define the gospel, the good news, what is this all about? Okay, now I'm saved. I'm a Christian. You're a Christian. Well, you could just say others. It's about others. You say, isn't it about me? Well, yeah, that's how you got saved, but now you are saved, right? You are saved now, so now it's about others. It's about sharing what you have. It's about helping others with what you have. You are the light of the world. That's what Jesus said. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Wow. Good stuff. Amen. Encourage somebody. Lift somebody. Pray for somebody. That'll help you get out of your shell. Amen. That'll get your eyes off you and others, onto others, and helping others, and blessing others, and lifting others. And, you know, I know this, in any area of your life, I don't care what it is, if you want to be successful, if you want to be the best you can be, then do everything you can to help others be the best they can be. and you'll be the best. If you'll help others, you'll get help.
Amen.
If you encourage others, you'll be encouraged. If you pray for others, people will pray for you. God will put it on the hearts of people to pray for you if you're a prayer. If you're a giver, people will give to you. Give, and shall be given to you, is what Jesus said. He gives seed to sowers. God doesn't give seed to you if you're not going to sow. The whole point is he's looking for sowers to give seed to so they can keep sowing it. So you say, well, once I get something, I'll give. Well, just give now. Just do what you can now. If you're faithful in the little, he'll put you over the much. Amen? Because if you'll make others your business, God will always make you his business.
Amen.
Amen. If you put your hands in other people's business, helping them, not put your nose in other people's business, put your hands in other people's business, then God will help you. He's done that in this church year after year after year. You've seen it happen over and over and over. We've made a major part of our church, missions a major part of our church, helping missionaries foreign and domestic, here at home and abroad, hallelujah. We have reached out to this community with our food minister and a hallelujah night that we've done for years and years. Are you with me? And we've reached out with all the foreign missionaries that we support all over the world. And I'll tell you, we've gone through some tough times and we've just slid right through them. I mean, God has taken us through them. Here we are, we're out of debt, been out of debt since 1997. And we have gotten and purchased many things and built many buildings and poured lots of concrete since then and paid cash. And never taken a special offering for that. Never had a big building fund pledge or, you know, take up money for the chair. We bought chairs, new carpet, concrete, buildings, land. We have 45 acres out here. You know, but see, all that is just because we've reached out to others. We haven't made that our priority. That's just come because we've helped others. I was out pacing the concrete one day. We were pouring a section at a time. I mean, we paid, I think, $9,000 for the first pour and $12,000 for the second pour for the driveways. And then we had a little section in the back. And then we just did a section at a time. And then we got hooked up with Glenn and Tracy. And Glenn started pouring most everything around here, after that. But we just do section after section after section. And I would pace. I'd pace that concrete. I'd just walk on the edge of it and start calling in that section that I was believing for. You know, we were all believing for that section. You remember we called money in here. We called land in. We called buildings in, you know, in our confession. And I'd pace that and pace that, pray in tongues and pray in tongues and pray in tongues. Yes, tongues, neo-Pentecostal modern-day phenomena, tongues. Holy Ghost, are you with me? That's who we are. We're Holy Ghost Church. So I was praying in tongues and calling that section of concrete in just one at a time. And the Spirit of God spoke to me. I'll never forget it. I was out there just pacing and praying, and the Lord said, son, you can have all the concrete you want. You keep supporting missions like you're doing.
That's right.
I believe that.
I thought, wow, how cool is that? That if I just keep my heart right, if we as a church just keep our focus right, you know, what's our purpose? What's our mission? If we do that, God will make sure we have the infrastructure. He'll make sure we got everything we need. See, we get everything turned around. No, you just need to keep your focus on God and people. Keep it on God and keep it on helping people. Here's Jesus. I guess you're wondering where we're going to get there, but here we are. He goes in his hometown in Capernaum, where he was raised up, and he walks into the synagogue on the Sabbath, as his custom was, is what it says. Everybody say his custom. All right, so anybody want to be like Jesus? Okay, so go to church. That's what Jesus did. Every Sabbath he went to church. Amen? And he entered the synagogue and he was handed a scroll. He stood up for to read and he was handed a scroll. Back then, it says book, I think, in some translation, but they didn't have books back then. You have to realize, back then, they had just had rolls, had scrolls. In fact, that's why the books are, many of the books are as long as they are, because they couldn't make them any longer, because that's how much would go on a scroll. That's interesting the way they... I'm sidetracked here. I'm going rabbit trail. I thought that rabbit had some meat on it. But anyway, they'd roll out a scroll, and they would find the place where it was written. I think this is fascinating because they didn't have books. They didn't have numbers. They didn't have chapters. They didn't have verses. Are you with me? They just had this big, long letter. They didn't have all these sentence breaks that we have. But Jesus rolled Isaiah out, pretty big book. Isaiah, are you out there? He just rolled it out and found that place. Knew exactly where it was. Isaiah 61, I believe is what he was quoting. Yeah, Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. He rolled it out. They handed him the scroll. He stood up for a read in the synagogue, which they had little synagogues in all the Jewish cities. If they had 10 Jewish males, heads of households, they had a synagogue. This was not the temple. This was just a synagogue. This is church. They were having church. And it says he stood up for a read. He opened the scroll, found the place where it was written. Everybody say found. That's very important. You need to find the place where it is written about you. And this is interesting too, because it's not exactly what I'm teaching on, but it bears repeating. Jesus started his ministry by saying to everybody publicly what God said about him. In other words, he found out what God said about him, and he began to confess that. In other words, he said ahead of time what his mission was based on what God said. And he said about himself what God said about him. But that didn't just happen. It says he found the place where it was written. We don't just flip through the pages, close our eyes, and put our finger in there. This is not a magic book. Are you with me? This is the Word of God. And so you need to familiarize yourself with it. You need to read it. You need to get the understanding, the gist of it. You need the revelation of it. You need to stay in it. You need to stay in it day and night. And then when a need comes up or a situation arises, go dig that out and find that in there where you remember where it said this and it said that. And if you need help, they've got concordances. My goodness, if you've got iPhones or, you know, or smartphones or iPads, whatever, you can just look it up by punching up, you know, the dictionary or the search on it. But he found it. I like that. So he knew it was there. He'd already read it. He was aware of it. So you don't wait till something goes wrong to read your Bible. You should be reading your Bible and ready, and that way when something does go wrong, you know what the Bible says already. Yeah. Yes. You don't wait to go trained when a battle starts. You do all your training before the battle. Right. You do all your preparation before it hits. That way when it hits, you're ready. Amen? And you say, oh, when was that going to be? Well, we don't know when the devil's going to throw his best shot. We just stay in the Word all the time. That way we're always acting on the Word. We're not just reacting to situations. Amen? So just stay in the Word and get ready. Jesus was ready. He got up and he found a place he'd already read. He knew where it was. He just had to roll the scroll out and find it, put his finger on it and read it, and this is what it said. 18th verse. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I like that. That he was talking about what God did for him. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon you too. Truth be known, you're a Christian, you're a believer, you've had an experience with the Holy Spirit. If you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, that's that endowment of power that the Bible talks about in Acts, the second chapter. But it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Here's a good question. Why? Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. I love that. So the Spirit of God was on him for others. Now, why preach the gospel to the poor? Well, so they wouldn't be poor no more. Amen. Amen? Not a sin to be poor, but it's a sin to stay there. It's a sin to want to stay there. It's a sin not try to get up. Sure, not a sin to be sick, but it'd be a sin not try to get well. Amen. Now, a lot of times we'll condemn ourselves for being in situations. Well, that's not the point. The point is everybody gets in situations. Goodness, you can't. Don't beat yourself over the head because of sickness or disease or poverty or all that. Just get up. Just get up. Let's pursue help. Let's get healed. Are you with me? Well, why am I here? Why am I? Well, I don't know why. Maybe it was your fault. Maybe it wasn't your fault. We live in a broken world. It may not be your fault. It doesn't matter. Let's just get some answers here. Amen? Let's get some help. You know, they came upon a man that was born blind. Remember in John 9 chapter? And the disciples, you know, they wanted to make a theological issue out of this thing. They said, Jesus, why do you think this man was born blind? Do you think he sinned or do you think his mother sinned? And Jesus had to be shaking his head. Just had to be shaking his head. He said, this man hadn't sinned. His mother hadn't sinned. We need to heal this man. We need to work the works of God while it is day, for the night cometh. It's like coming up on a car wreck and somebody's laying over in the ditch and you get your tape measure out, measuring skid marks on the highway, trying to find out how long, who did this, did he hit his brakes? I wonder how this happened. The guy's crying over there in the ditch. You know, we'll figure all this out later, all right? I think we spend so much time trying to figure things out and we don't go for the answer. Let's get help. Maybe we'll learn something in the long run. Maybe we did do something. Maybe we didn't do something. But the good news is there is a promise that covers that. There is supply for that demand that you have in your life. God is a healing God. You sick? Well, you can get healed. Hallelujah. You down? You can get up. You poor? You can prosper. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Amen. Don't let the devil sidetrack you with all this. You get paralysis of analysis. Are you with me? Come on, you get so analytical and you start digging so deep into this thing that you forget the simplicity of this. Jesus said, there's a man here blind. I'm a healer. Let's go heal the guy, okay? Well, what do you think I did, dog? I don't know what you did, but come on. Is any sick? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over. Let them anoint them with oil. Prayer of faith, say the sick. Lord, shall raise them up. If he's committed any sins, they'll be forgiven. We don't have to talk about them all day long. We don't have to analyze this thing. Listen, if you sin, just get them to repent. That's fine. God will forgive them. Amen. Now, confess your faults one to another and pray ye one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Oh, that's good. Amen. So, the Spirit of the Lord is upon him because he's anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor. To bring the good news. That's what gospel means. It's a Greek word, evangelion. We get the word evangelist from that. We get the word eulogy from that. When someone's at a funeral, you get up and you eulogize them. You say good things about them. Amen? Which is something you ought to always keep in mind when you're living your life. Because you don't want me as a preacher to have to stand up and lie about you at your funeral. Amen? You want me to say good things. Well, that word is eulogy, eulogize. That comes from this word gospel. We've kind of lost the meaning of the word gospel. We think it means truth. Well, it actually doesn't. It means good news. So I'm here to tell you good news. I'm not here to tell you bad news. I'm not even here to tell you to preach hell. I believe in hell. I believe there's a real hell, and I believe a lot more people are going to hell than heaven. But that's not the good news. Here's the good news. You don't have to go there. Okay? That's the good news. I'm not here to tell you how sorry and no good you are and worthless and worm of the dust. And boy, I'm telling you what, you're just an old sinner. You're just evil and wicked and just, you're just not a good thing in you. You're just evil. But God, I'm not here to tell you all that. I'm here to tell you that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Hallelujah. And for God so loved you, he looked at you and he so loved you, he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. I'm here to tell you, yeah, you may be in the prison, but the gate's open. Hallelujah. What are you doing in the prison? Come on out. Praise God. Jesus paid the price. Are you with me? I'm here to tell you the good news. If you want the bad news, you got to go to another church. This is a good news church. Amen. I'm here to tell you can overcome anything. I'm here to tell you that, hey, I'm here to tell you, homosexuality, I believe it's a sin. I believe the Bible very plain it's a sin. But I'm here to tell you can get delivered from it. You can get set free from it. In fact, door's open. Come on in here. If you want to get right with God, we'll take you in. I'm here to tell you, if you've committed adultery, that God can forgive you of adultery, and he can heal you. Are you with me? And he can make you another person. He can. So if you committed adultery and you want to repent, you want to get right with God, come on, come on in here. Bring the adulterer. Bring the homosexual. I'm here to tell you, if you ever gossiped in your life. Okay, let me go on here. I'm getting off. Are you out there? Hallelujah. Do we say, well, you just believe in sinning? No, I don't believe in sinning. No, God's saying that. I believe there's hope for the sinner. Amen. I believe every sinner has a future. I believe every saint has a past. I got a past, and so do you, and I got no stones to throw. But if you want help, we'll help you. Now, if you don't want help, I can't help you. I will say that. If you want to stay in your sin, there's nothing I really do for you. If you think it's okay to do what you're doing, you wouldn't be comfortable here. You wouldn't enjoy this at all. And really, that's not what it's all about. We are a place where people can come and get help that need help. If you don't think you need any help, then we couldn't help you. You out there? Think about that. We all need help. And sooner you realize that, the better off you're going to be. And I want you to know we love you and we're for you. We're not against you. We don't condemn anybody. We won't judge anybody in that sense. We judge sin because sin is judgeable. Amen? It's recognizable. But we love sinners. We love people that are lost that want to get right with God. I love drug addicts that want to get out of the drugs. I'm telling you, I love it. I love to see people turn their lives around. I used to do drugs. I used to be in jails. Can you imagine Jesus tarries for 10 years, how hard it's going to be for me to get through a sermon? I just mention anything about my past. I'm just so grateful. I'm so thankful. For getting saved and getting, Jesus let, you know, he loved me and he reached out to me and helped me. And I'm not who I used to be. I can't even imagine being that person anymore. I'm not that person anymore. I've been born again. I've been saved. I've been set free. Hallelujah. I've overcome so much in Christ Jesus, and so can you. Amen? And I don't think you ever stop being grateful. You, I'm so thankful. Hallelujah. Thank God I'm saved. Oh, God, thank God I'm saved. I thank God every day I'm saved. I thank God I'm going to heaven. I thank God I don't live the way I used to live. You know, I thank God I got a power I didn't have before. I got love I never had before. I got a great marriage. I got a great family. I got a great church. I just, woo! Hallelujah. Yes. And it's even going to be better when I go to heaven. Yeah. Oh, come on. Mm. So, the anointing. I got 10 minutes now on this sermon I got left here. Really, there's no hurry. The Cowboys aren't playing today. It's a bye week. But anyway, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I love that. To preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and he sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say unto them, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. In other words, he laid claim to it. He said, I am that man. Oh, I love that. It's a great day when you figure out who you are. Amen. But you don't know who you are until you get with God. You got to get with God to find out who you are. There's no question. Abraham didn't know who he was until God changed his name. Jacob didn't know who he was until he wrestled with God all night long. Adam didn't even know what was in him until God caused a deep sleep to fall upon him and took a rib out of him and made a woman. There was something in Adam that he couldn't get out of him. It took God to get out of Adam what was in him. It takes God to get out of you what he's put in you. Think about it. And if you really want to know who you are, you're who God says you are. And if you don't spend time with God, you never find out who you are. Your identity comes from finding out who God is first. And then when you find out who God is, you'll start finding out who you are. The closer you get to God, the more your eyes will be open. One day you'll get so close to him and what we call the rapture of the church or going up into heaven. One day you will no longer see through a glass darkly, but you will see face to face and you will no longer know in part, but you will know as you are known. Think about it. Amen. So if you want to know yourself, you got to know the Lord. You got to. So Jesus found out, of course he was the Lord. But he began to say what the Lord said about him. Now think about this. It was five classes of people here. You know, six if you want to count the acceptable year of the Lord. You could say the unaccepted, the rejected, the rejects. You know, they were accepted and they were received. That would be like six classes. But if you start with the gospel of the poor, the brokenhearted, the captive, the blind, and the bruised, that pretty well takes in everybody. There's a world out there that's poor and brokenhearted and blind and bruised and captive and rejected. And we're here, we've got the anointing on us to help us meet those needs. Right. Just think of them backwards, going from the rejected would be accepted, the bruised would be set at liberty, the blind will recover the sight, the captives will be delivered, the brokenhearted will be healed, and the poor will be rich. Y'all see that? I mean, you can't just section off poor and say God doesn't care about you having any money. Of course God wants you to have money. Of course God wants your house paid for. God doesn't want you to lust after money, but he wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you. He definitely wants to prosper you. God does not want you poor. If he wants you poor, then what does this mean? Preach the gospel to the poor. And the point is that he met the need of every person mentioned here. The bruised wouldn't be bruised anymore. The blind wouldn't be blind anymore. The captive wouldn't be captive anymore. The brokenhearted wouldn't be brokenhearted anymore. And the poor wouldn't be poor anymore. Woo! Oh, y'all settle down and let me finish this message. I know you're excited. I can see it in your eyes. I'm not hearing anything, but I can kind of see it in your eyes. But anyway, God, Jesus came to set us free from all that. And the Holy Spirit anointed him to do that. To help people. Now, surely there's somebody out there that needs some help that you can help, that you can pray for, that you can minister to, that you can reach out to, and you're not alone. The Holy Spirit's on you to make that happen. Oh, I want the power of the Holy Ghost. Well, I do too. It's on me to help others. It's not on me for me. In fact, even gifts of the Spirit, when they're given in the church, they're not about the person given the gift. It's not a validation or a confirmation on that person's life or my life when I give a prophecy or Brenna gives a tongue or Eva gives an interpretation or a prophecy or, you know, no, it's not that. It's for you. It's for others. It's not for me. It's sometimes we just want the recognition, but that's not what it's about. Sorry. It's not so you can put it on a card, ministering the ghost from coast to coast. I'm moving all nine gifts at will. No, it's not for you to put it on a card. Are you with me? That's not what it's about. I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying I'm a Holy Ghost minister, but sometimes we tend to take it to ourselves, but it's for others. Acts 10, turn there real quickly. Actually, while you're turning there, Acts 10 chapter, Jesus was quoting Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach good things to the meek, and he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." I love that. So he's just quoting right out of Isaiah. He found it there, rolled it out there, and read it, and he said, "That's me right there." Do you know in the Bible where it talks about you? You need to find out. Amen. I can tell you a couple of verses that would be good. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 would be a good one. Come on. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Are you in Christ? I am. Amen. So that's talking about us. You're more than conquerors through him that loved you. That's talking about you. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. That's talking about me. Amen. You ought to quote that and say that. My God supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, you ought to grab that one. Philippians 4:19. My God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And quit talking all that doubt and unbelief you've been talking. Well, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how we're going to make it. I guess we're going to lose everything we got. Where is that scripture? I seem to have missed that one. Are you out there? Find out where God talks about you and say that. In closing, Acts 10. Closing doesn't mean anything. I could close in 5 minutes or 50. No, I'll close pretty quick. Y'all just got real quiet when I said that. It's kind of like a joke that just hit the ground. Okay. All right. Moving right along very quickly. Acts 10:38. Peter's preaching. And this must have been a pretty anointed sermon. He's preaching to a centurion named Cornelius and his household. And they were Gentiles. And it was a supernatural way that they got hooked up together. You ought to go read. It's the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. Read the whole chapter. Well, he goes into this Gentile's house, which he didn't do that. He was a Jew, Christian Jew, but he didn't fellowship with Gentiles till then. And he gets there and he gets to ministering to him. And I mean, the Holy Ghost falls on this place right after this. But this is what he preached. This is, you say, wouldn't you like to hear some of Peter's sermons? Well, they're in here. Some of the things he said are written. The book of Acts, and we got 1st and 2nd Peter, you can go read. But here is some of the things he said, or one of the things. In Acts 10:38, He says how God anointed, everybody say anointed. Okay, there it is. The Spirit. We're talking about the Spirit is the anointing. He's the anointing on us. He's the motion in the ocean. Okay? He's the muse that the people talked about. You know, the muse was upon me. You know, I said it and it just came out and it just flowed. And I wrote that song so quick. Well, that's what we're talking about. Inspiration, the revelation, the muse, the anointing comes on it. And it just said something and it just grabbed you and just hooked you. And you go, yeah, I got that. Well, that's the anointing. That's the Spirit, see, that does that. And he says this, the Spirit of the Lord is, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. Everybody say, with the Holy Ghost. And I think Holy Spirit, modern translation says Holy Spirit. But the anointing is the Holy Spirit. It's not like the Holy Spirit gives us an anointing. It's the Holy Spirit is the anointing. You see that? Because he says, God the Father anointed Jesus the Son with the Holy Spirit. See, like if I were to anoint you with oil, then the oil would be what I anointed you with, right? Well, God says he anointed him with the Holy Spirit. There's a Trinity right there in this verse, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is the anointing. And you have received the anointing. You have. 1 John tells us that. 2:20 and 27. It says, anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you. And he wasn't talking about not needing pastors and teachers and gifts. But he was saying that it's not really me doing it. It's the anointing in you that's causing this revelation to come alive to you, that's grabbing you and speaking to you and leading you and guiding you and giving you all kinds of insight here. That's the anointing that you have received of him. 1 John 2:27 and 1 John 2:20 talks about that unction, that anointing. So it says here, and I'm going to be done, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. What's good? Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Who oppressed them? The devil. For God was with him. And when God's with you, good things happen. And when the anointing's flowing and you're doing what God's anointed you to do, you're doing good things. And you're driving the devil crazy. Amen?
Amen.
You're driving him nuts because all the stuff he's doing, you're undoing. All the depression, you're bringing joy. All the sickness, you're bringing healing. All the poverty, you're bringing wealth. All the brokenheartedness, you're bringing healing. All the captives, you're opening up the doors and delivering them. Because that's what the anointing does. The anointing is on us to do good. If I'm going to condemn you and I'm going to judge you and I'm going to make you feel like 500 pounds of sin on a popsicle stick and I'm going to crush you like a bug and destroy your life in this pulpit, that would not be God for me to do that. I might even get anointed to do it, but it wouldn't be the anointing of God. Are you with me? You ought to walk out of here better than you walked in. You ought to walk out of here more encouraged. You ought to walk out of here knowing God loves you. You ought to walk out of here knowing that you love God. And everything's going to be all right. And you can help somebody. You can. You can help somebody. You can do something. You can make a difference. Hallelujah. You got to walk out of here changed, challenged, and charged. Praise God with the power of God. That's what the anointing does. And you have it. You have him. He's on your life. The Spirit of God's on your life. You can do this. Praise God. Well, stand up with us if you would. Praise God.